Hi, this is Jennifer Sage with the Indoor Cycling Association, and today I'm going to talk to an instructor in California who experienced a challenging situation when she walked into class the other day, something that may send a lot of instructors into panic mode. I know I've experienced it before, but I don't think I taught, but I don't think I would have taught with the flair and panache that you did. I'm talking here with Shireen Beckett of Claremont, California. How are you, Shireen?
Hi, Jennifer. I'm very well, thank you. It's an honor to be here with you. Thank you for talking to me.
Well, thank you very much. Shireen has been a member of ICA since the beginning, was a member of my previous site, and you have often told me that you once saw something I posted on one of the cycling forums, and you've been a Keep It Real fanatic ever since.
Exactly. That was a really good experience. I logged into this cycling forum many, many years ago out of curiosity. I was intrigued by all the conversation between the instructors on that site. At one point, it was just a very good resource. We would actually go and share experiences, or we would put a question out to the sea of experience that was floating on that site. And I remember one day I put a rant about all the craziness that I was seeing in different spin indoor cycling classes, and I just put on a post. And to my shock, a few hours later, I see this really amazing comment. A very, very long, encouraging, thorough, beautifully and thoughtfully written. And it was by someone that went by Fun Hog.
Oh, I know her.
And I'm thinking, who is this person? I need to find and follow this source. And quickly I found out that's Jennifer Sage, and I have been following you ever since.
Well, I'm glad that I inspired you back then. And and you've been an inspiration to me. Shireen came and helped me last year at IDEA, will help me again this year at IDEA in August in Los Angeles. And you're always so happy and cheerful. And I know your students are very lucky. But let's get down to this challenging situation I mentioned. Why don't you just tell us what happened? You walked into class on in the evening. It was a 90-minute class?
Yes.
Is it 90 minutes every evening, every Thursday?
Yes. Right? Uh-huh. Okay. I do teach a couple of 90-minute rides. They're different classes. The Thursday night is a tempo ride, and it's the evening class. It's where my working adults can ride, and they're just very loyal to these rides. They ride with me 3 or 4 times a week, and we kind of work around their schedule to make sure that the hours suit their working hours. So, this was a Thursday tempo ride.
And by tempo, you mean sub-threshold? What do you mean by that?
Tempo, basically we work in zone 3 upper and zone 3, and we kind of tease and hint at lower end zone 4 here and there. We kind of touch upon it and come back. But yeah, just your regular tempo ride, okay. Higher intensity strength.
So, what happened?
So, we walk into this. This is my latest adventure. We walk into the studio, and there is no sound coming into or out of the stereo. There's no mic. There's no music connection. And it was just quite an interesting situation. We had the most wonderful, support staff at the studio, and she worked with the system for about 10, 15 minutes, couldn't get it to work. She's looking at me like, okay, what do we do now? And I kind of smiled at her, and I said, I can do this without sound. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, yep, I was. I knew I could do it.
So that might, like I said, send some instructors into panic mode. You just thought you're just going to do what you normally do at your classes. You coach them.
Yes, exactly. What we regularly do is cycling. I stole Tom Scotto's term. He doesn't call it indoor cycling. He calls it cycling indoors. And that's what we do. And there is no reason for panic when you keep it real. And I'm using your motto, and I'm following your motto and your lead on that, that when you keep it real, we're using this activity of cycling. We're using it indoors to become healthy and fit. and we follow the principles of cycling. Everything else is a tool. Music is a tool. Microphone is a tool. And tools are good, but they're not good when they're crutches. When your microphone becomes your crutch, when your music is the center stage and you're really at a loss without it, then it's a crutch. But when you use it to your advantage to kind of promote what you're doing, then it's a tool. So that was our situation. I said, you know what? I don't have my tools, but my plan is here. My ride plan was in my head. I knew exactly what we were going to do, and I had the plan without the music. So what?
Well, I saw you posted that on Facebook, and I saw your students commenting on what an amazing experience it was for them. And that's why I wanted to bring you on here. So when other instructors can see that not only is this possible, but it can be a very, very momentous class, a game changer in a way for a lot of students to discover that, yeah, the music's great, but look what I just did. So
exactly.
Why don't you give our listeners a couple tips on how you kept your students engaged?
It's basically what we do. These are people who have ridden with me for a number of years. They've done the lactate threshold workshop with me, so they know their threshold values or approximate values. They work with a heart rate monitor. We work with cadence, and we work, we do a lot of technique and all of that through every class. So they're not foreigners and they're not strangers to these terms and how to cycle. A lot of them have started cycling outdoors since they've been riding with me. That's how effective these rides are indoors. So basically they looked at me and I grinned and I said, hey guys, long time ago, many, many years ago, I did this amazing workshop with master instructor Doug Katona at spinning. And parts of that workshop, he actually did some silent segments, and that stayed with me for all these years. I loved the energy and the rhythm of actually connecting with your pedal stroke and your breath. And I told my guys, I said, hey, guys, we have a new adventure tonight, and we have no sound, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to go with it. We're going to use our breath, and we're going to use our perceived exertion, and I'm going to guide you through certain cadences, and we're going to do this. And they all went with it. There's a lot of trust. There's a strong bond between an instructor and her or his regular riders, and we all hope to build that bond and to strengthen it.
Well, they trust you and you trust them. Obviously really strengthen that bond. So instructors listening, you know, maybe that could be your first step, is to take the measures to increase the bond with your students and build up the trust. Because you're right, it is an element of trust. You've got no music, so they've got to trust you to keep them engaged. I think it's also important to note that you didn't roll your eyes and say, oh God, here we go. I got to teach this class without music, and God, this is going to be tough. I have been a participant in a class where the instructor had some challenges and did exactly that. So kind of set up the class for additional challenges, because everyone in the room was like, you know, that kind of raised their own awareness of how bad it was going to be.
Yeah.
But you set the stage of, okay, here's an exciting challenge, and this is what I'm going to do. And that perked their ears up and made them interested and probably added to the success of the ride.
I believe so. I tend to hope and agree with that. I think as instructors, we model for our riders, for our team. And in every ride, I tell them, take every challenge as an opportunity and see what you can do with it. And here I am. I looked at them and I said, here's our challenge tonight. Let's see what we can do with it. And that's exactly what we did. And I looked at that as my opportunity. That was a teachable moment. That was me setting up a model for them. look at what I can do with this. Yeah, it's going to be tough, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe this is the best thing you've ever done. I had one new writer in that class. After the write, she told me, she says, Shireen, I have to tell you, I was nervous when we had no music and you said we're going to do this silent write. She said, I had no idea what to think, but I am so glad that I was here tonight. This was an amazing experience. I don't know how you did it, but this was amazing.
So she was new to indoor cycling or new to you?
New to me.
So she hadn't yet had the opportunity to trust you yet, but yeah, she must have sensed it from everybody else.
Exactly. I mean, I banked on everybody's trust and the fact that it's a group energy. When you're in a group and you're kind of new to that group and you look around and you say, well, 19 other people are staying here and they're kind of grinning with her, then what do I got to lose?
Yeah, I'm gonna try. So you had 20 people in that class.
Yeah, and this is a full class, and some of, we have a long wait list for a couple of weeks. People wait if they haven't gotten on the roster. So there was no way I was going to turn these people around and say, let's go home. There was no way.
Awesome. Well, you know what? 60 minutes would be tough. 90 minutes. So that's why I'm especially awed at your success at this. And in the comments, like I said, that I saw on the Facebook page, and if it's okay with you, sure. I'd like to post some of those comments on the post, because people will see that we're not just talking about these people, these students, and loving it. They spewed their love for you on the Facebook post and how wonderful it was. So I'd like you to maybe address of the challenge of longer than 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, how long did you go? I know you were giving them cues throughout and having them focus on their breath and their pedal stroke, or maybe some drills here and there.
Yeah.
How long did you go with silence?
Silence in what way? Like,
well, you said you took some of what Doug Katona had done from that and wrote in silence, but it obviously wasn't the whole time you were coaching.
What we did, it was a regular tempo write, what I did. And thank you, by the way, thank you so much, Jennifer, and all the other masters in our industry that are bringing a lot of attention to warm-up, the importance of warm-up right now.
I mean,
that's something I've always done. But one of my personal pet peeves is when the instructors, I hear the stories, they reach your arms up and shrug your shoulders, and now here we are starting with a sprint.
Yeah.
A minute into the class. And they wonder why people run out to throw up. And they think, you know, I killed them. Look at me. I made this person throw up. Let's not even start on that. Yeah. But we took a good 10-minute warm-up the way we do by increasing intensity and increasing heart rate the proper way, beginning to sweat and getting muscles and our energy systems all ready to go. So that was the warm-up. And then what I did in each segment, like I said, I had the right plan, what I was going to do. We had surges, we had steady hills, we had different grade climbing. We had a couple of lactate threshold segments in there even. One was the 8-minute long and one a little shorter towards the end. So what I would do is I would start counting cadence with them. I would say, I want for the next 5 minutes, we're going to be at a 4% grade. It's not going to be that difficult, but it's going to be challenging. I would give them the cues for their perceived exertion, and I would say, I'm going to start you at a cadence of 70 for right now, and I want you to maintain this as we increase resistance. And we would do that, and here and then I would come in and I would say, let's count cadence again, make sure you're still on 70.
And how were, since you didn't have music, how were you counting the cadence?
I would count with them. I would count for 6 minutes or 12, I mean 6 seconds or 12 seconds, and I would say, I want you to be at 7 when I say stop. And I would tell them, count one leg hitting bottom. That's a count of 1. We're going to count for 6 seconds. I know that's a little less than accurate. You should count at least to 12 seconds or 15 seconds. But the short, quick way of doing it is counting 6 seconds and looking for that magic number.
And you know what? You were close enough, you know.
Yeah.
If they were 65 or 75, they're close enough.
Yeah.
So you don't have cadence meters, so this was all awesome.
I used my timer on my iPhone, and I would count to 6 seconds, and I would tell them when to start and when to stop. And look for that number where they hit bottom. And if they're faster than 7, I would say, you know, add a little resistance if you think you need it. Or if you're really slower, is it because you're not working as hard as you should, or you have too much resistance, you need to adjust. And we just kind of kept doing that based on different grades. We would change, I would change the cadence. Again, the plan was in my head. I was going to go from 60 to 70 or whatever, and a lactate threshold, of course, 80, 85, and so on and so forth. So we basically had our cadence. We had our silence, and people listened to each other, breathing hard and looking at each other's energy and borrowing from each other and helping, supporting each other through their energy, not through talking and chatting. But it was just the most amazing 90-minute they could have expected. We're done with a pool of sweat on the floor and everybody hooting and hollering, and I'm having goosebumps thinking,
oh, that's
look
amazing.
At what this team can do. Look at what this team can do. And, you know, just the most amazing experience.
That is pretty amazing too. And you were talking about their breathing, especially for your segments where you push them to threshold where they can really focus on their breath. Sometimes, you know, our music, we like it loud. We like it to help motivate us, but it could be a detriment because they may not be able to hear themselves as well. I mean, obviously you can sense, you know, when you're breathing hard, and you can sense when you're pushing breath out, but to really hear the breathing around them and maybe to adjust your breathing so that, you know, if you would hear if you are breathless and no one else is around you, that would say like, oh, maybe I'm going too hard. So the kind of maybe synchronicity of not having the distraction of music and having everyone kind of tie their own effort to each other is just amazing. So I just want to congratulate you for a job well done.
Thank you.
And for inspiring your students. Like I said, I'm going to post a few of the Facebook comments on the page for this audio. And if anyone listening to this has questions or doubts or fears about teaching without music, you know, or overcoming a challenge this big, post them in the comments, and I'll have Shireen come back and look at them and see if she can answer them. Would you do that?
Definitely. And I just, from the writer's point of view, I wanted to read a couple of sentences from this one particular email, if we have time for
that.
Oh,
yeah.
One of my guys.
You said you just got this email right before me.
Yes, it's right after the class. Before I got home, this email was sent to me. He goes on to say some really fantastic, wonderfully kind things. He continues to say, I would guess that for an average spin instructor, losing the sound system is pretty much the same as an airline pilot losing an engine at takeoff. I can't imagine that anyone else would have even tried to conduct a class under these circumstances, much less run us through a complete 90-minute A-team set. As it happened, you turned a setback into an opportunity, and I think it is a credit to the whole team.
That's an amazing email from a student.
It is. You know, and he goes on to say, I'm not quite cynical enough to suspect that you planned this, but it couldn't have worked out any better if you did. So it's a ride we will remember for a long, long time. And, you know, things like that, that's the motivation I need. That's the inspiration I need. And this is my team, and I'm so proud of them.
Well, I'm proud of you, Shireen. Thank you for sharing that with all of our listeners.
Thank you, Jennifer. And keep doing what you're doing. I'm a very loyal follower of yours. I encourage everyone who's listening to continue your own education. Resources are there. ICA is there. Jennifer, you constantly are reading, doing research on our behalf, and kind of translating, summarizing, putting them in these clear articles. At a click of a button, we can access these and we can learn. Why not use this resource? Why not continue to learn? I mean, there is no sense in selling our writers short to think they get bored with the real cycling, to assume they can't understand science or they will not want to. They are strong, they're smart, and they're willing. They're looking at us, the instructors, to kind of guide them to the next step.
Well, thank you, Shireen. I appreciate that. And you are an example of one of those instructors who has taken this information and used it for the benefit of your students. So, well, thanks. And I am sure we will have you back on again, because there's a lot of things that you do I would like to share with our listeners. So we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Jennifer. Keeping it real.